there to observe that in just a few moments. I don't know that anything I can really say that would be better than the song that we just sang, reminding us about the choice that Jesus made to allow himself to be crucified. But that'll be the purpose of our thoughts here for the next few minutes. Today is Easter, and we always look forward to Easter Sunday for a lot of different reasons. One reason is because we have a lot of visitors, as Kevin acknowledged a few moments ago. And it's always good to see, you know, family and friends and others maybe we don't know. We're so glad that you're here today and you've come out to worship with us this morning. I'm not going to begin to try to acknowledge all the folks who are with us today, so many, but we appreciate that. And I do want to say, especially though, it's good to see Mike and Teresa Lyons and Deanna and John and their baby. I guess Tinsley is sitting with Jewel. That's great. But I wanted to mention Mike because most of you are aware he retired from channel, which channel is it? Four? 12, right. I knew it. After so many years, you know, working in Jacksonville with the new stations, and wow, what a mark that is in his life. And everybody loves Mike so much. And you can see that on the news Friday night. And we all, you know, feel it personally as well. And so congratulations to Mike and Teresa both. Mike, on your retirement. I want to talk for a few minutes about what is the meaning of Easter. And this, again, to prepare us for the communion service this morning. And what I want to think about is how it really is an illustration of how you have something which is very dark and a time of despair, disillusionment, and how it changes because of what happened on that Sunday morning. It changes to, you know, feelings of light and joy and hope and meaning. And it was really a transition that took place like that, certainly when Jesus was crucified and when he was raised from the dead. But also, you know, what it means to us as Christians as we go through similar experiences like that. And it's because of Jesus' death, and then because especially he was raised from the dead, that we can experience a similar transition. But that's certainly what happened, you know, when Jesus died, when he was arrested. The Bible talks about how all the disciples forsook him and fled. So even before he was crucified, you know, they began to forsake Jesus, and they were afraid, and they didn't know what to believe about this one that they wanted to put their faith in. But now the unthinkable was starting to happen. He had been arrested, and he was taken away, and he was put on trial. And we certainly don't have to wonder what their feelings were. We see in Mark chapter 16, verse 10, after Mary saw Jesus raised, she went and told those who had been with him. And what were they doing? They were mourning and weeping. And when they heard her report that he was alive, they didn't believe it. And so they were, you know, filled with disillusionment and despair because of what had happened. And it was a very dark, so dark that even nature responded. There was darkness over all the land, the Bible says, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, while Jesus was dying on the cross. It was a very, very dark moment. And only John, as far as the Bible tells us, made it to the cross. Maybe others were there. I don't know. The women and John was there. You know, and maybe they still had hope when they saw him being crucified and couldn't imagine this was actually happening. Maybe they still held out hope that, like everybody was saying, you know, if you're the Son of God, come down. But he didn't come down. And he just allowed himself to remain there. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he died alone, like the song says, for you and me. And I think that was their experience. You know, darkness, despair, disillusionment. And that's what they felt that Sabbath as he remained in the grave. And Sunday morning, the women go to the tomb, not expecting to find him alive or to meet him, but we all know they were going to anoint the body with spices. But everything changed in those first few hours of daylight on the first day of the week. Luke chapter 24, Luke's gospel concludes by talking about how once they realized he had been raised, they worshiped him. No more mourning and weeping and disbelief, but they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And Mark's gospel says they went out and preached everywhere. And so these men who were afraid and who actually were hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, it says, the day of the resurrection, before Jesus appeared to them, now they're not afraid any longer. And they're out preaching Jesus and proclaiming the resurrection. And Peter, the one who denied him, is really leading the way. And so you see a transition from darkness and despair and disappointment and disillusionment. And because of the resurrection, like we sang a moment ago also, because he lives, there's light and joy and hope and meaning. And that's the facts of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. But there's an application, I think, to all of us, because we go through times in our lives of darkness and despair and disillusionment. And we feel, you know, very hopeless and you know, hurt by things that happen to us in this world. And I would suggest again that the answer is Jesus, his death, but the thing that really gives his death power, his resurrection from the dead, can give us hope and joy and meaning even in our darkest moments. For example, one of the things that I think is a source of darkness and despair is our sin. So we know we've sinned. If we believe what the Bible says about sin, that the wages of sin is death, and we know that we are all sinners, and we know that we are going to face God and we're going to answer for our sins someday, that can be a very discouraging thing. And that can be, the guilt that we carry because of that can weigh down upon us. We were talking this week about, you know, the world calls it Holy Week, this last week of the life of Jesus. And Friday is called Good Friday. And Riley asked a great question. It's been asked a million times. Why do they call it Good Friday? It's the day the absolute worst thing that ever happened in the history of humanity took place, when they crucified the Son of God. Why would they call it Good Friday? Well, that's when God chose to do something very good for us. He let his son die on the cross. That's when Jesus went to the cross. He didn't want to die on the cross. Physically, he dreaded that and all that was involved in it. But he went and he was obedient for us. You ever stop and think about how, you know, really Satan didn't want to kill Jesus? That sounds strange. We think of it as his greatest victory, but what Satan really wanted was for Jesus to say, "I can't do it." To refuse in the garden. "I can't do it." And then Satan would have really won the victory, because the price for sins would not have been paid. But Jesus did obey the Father. Hebrews chapter 9 says, "Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected," this is why it's Good Friday, "he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him." And so he died on the cross. And all the blessings we enjoy because we're Christians are because of what happened on that Good Friday. But as we look at that verse, we need to observe there that he says he's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It's not automatic. You know, I think sometimes there's kind of a casual attitude, especially on a day like Easter, where people, you know, come out maybe the one day of the year that they go to church. And really, God requires more of us than just that. Requires a commitment on our part to truly follow, he says in this verse, all those who obey him. And I don't want to focus on just one act of obedience, but it's really interesting how the Bible connects what we do to become Christians, the final act of baptism, with the resurrection of Jesus. And let's look at a couple of scriptures. Romans 6:4 says, we, talking about Christians, have been buried with Christ through baptism into death. So we were buried with Christ. Christ died, he was buried. We were buried with Christ when we were baptized. Look at this, that just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we will walk in newness of life. And so we have this new life, but it's because Jesus was raised. And think about it, our baptism only makes sense when you think about how Jesus died. He was buried and he was raised. Likewise, we are buried with him, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. Colossians puts it this way, we're buried with him in baptism. Again, like what Jesus went through. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow Jesus? We have our own temptation to obey the Father or not obey the Father. We need to follow Christ's example. We need to be buried with him in baptism. He says, in baptism, we are raised with Christ through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in trespasses, we were dead in sin, but it says he made us alive with Christ, and he's forgiven us of all of our trespasses. And so we have forgiveness, we have life, we have newness of life. And it's because we have been united with Christ in baptism. But that only makes sense because Jesus died and he was buried. But not just buried, he was raised the third day. We experience darkness and death and disillusionment when we face physical death in this world also. When we lose loved ones and we know that we'll never be able to speak to them again, at least this side of eternity. And we have to say goodbye. And that can be a very, very painful thing. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have light. We have hope. We have joy even sometimes. And find meaning in passing from this life to the next. And again, it's because of the resurrection. Notice the connection here. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And that's the word the Christian scriptures use to describe death. It's not the end. It's sleeping in Jesus. But look at why we have this hope. He says, you don't have to sorrow like others who have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again. You know, and Easter reminds us of that. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It's not all darkness and despair. But we have hope because of Jesus. And we have even greater hope that our loved ones who have died, who are Christians, have gone on to be with the Lord. And that's good and that's wonderful for them. If Christ is not risen, he says our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And we'll never see them again. But he goes on to say, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits just means the first of the fruit that is harvested. It's the first, but that implies there are many, many more to come afterward. Christ is the first fruits. Verse 23 says, but each in his own order. Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. But afterward, those who are Christ, we will also be raised when he returns. And so we have no need to feel despair or disillusionment regarding physical death. But we have joy and hope and meaning, and it's because Jesus was raised from the dead. One last thought is just the painful things and experiences of life that can upset us so much, that are a part of this world, that are so discouraging and so, you know, hard to understand. We sang about it last week, about how when peace like a river attends our way, and we have peace in life and things are good, but other times when sorrows like sea billows roll. That if our faith is great in God, we say, it is well with my soul. We trust God. He has a purpose. He has a reason. He's going to get us through whatever may come. And our lives are filled with events like that. And because of the resurrection, we have hope that someday, you know, everything is going to be so much better. Look at it again and notice the connection to the resurrection. 1 Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, not to this old physical life again, in this old sinful world, but we've been born again to a living hope. Notice this, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and that does never fade away, that's reserved in heaven for us. And so we have that hope. Someday we're going to escape this terrible world where we have all these problems, corruption, defilement, and just the natural passing and aging of life that's going to come to each and every one of us. I don't want to live in a world forever where someone can take over an airplane and send 150 people, innocent people, to their death. Or a world where this week in the news, those terrorists took over that school in Kenya and killed, you know, 150 school children. I don't want to live in a world where that can be on the news, or where you turn on the news and you see a child's face. This child is missing. Yeah, that's the most horrible thing of all. And you wonder, you know, what has become of them? And start praying that there'll be a good outcome. But so often, there's just nothing more horrible than that. But we're not stuck in a world like that forever. We have the promise of a better life where none of those things, none of that evil will exist. And it's all because of what we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have a Christian family to help us through such times and to share that good news with others. We haven't talked specifically so much about the sacrifice, but it was the sacrifice on Good Friday that was followed by the resurrection on Sunday. And it's great, I think, that Christians observe communion on Sundays, the day of the resurrection. Because without what happened on Sunday, what happened on Friday was just a dark event of despair, disappointment. But that's not where God has left us, because Jesus was raised from the dead. Let's give thanks for this bread and think about these things as we observe the communion this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we humbly bow and we praise you and thank you for the wonderful gift that we celebrate at this time, the gift of your Son, his death on the cross. And we thank you for his wonderful resurrection, which gives it all meaning. Be with us now as we eat this bread. Help us to think about his suffering of his body, and the life that he gave on the cross, and help us all to partake of this with the right attitude and in a way that pleases you. And this we pray for and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.